You've worked hard to accumulate wealth, but with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place? Offshore, while earning regular quarterly dividends in US dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP. Visit orbvest.com.
Joining now with Keelan Ndlovu. He's head of listed property at Stanlib. He is my go-to property guru. Keelan, appreciate your early morning time. You sent a great note out towards the end of last week, focusing particularly on office in the local REIT space and the listed space. And what struck me with it was your first point, which is, firstly, it's relatively big in terms of percentage and also quite spread out amongst the various different REITs. It's possible to avoid office, but frankly, not very easy.
Good morning, Simon. Yeah, it's a tough one, given that the office market makes up about 21% of the all property index. So I guess it's important to highlight as well that this sector is exposed to retail and industrial and a bit of residential. Mm. But the office market is fairly sizable. And as we all know, I've been working from home for the last 13 months, more than a year. I haven't stepped back into the offices, and most people haven't. So we're watching that space.
And some of this office is also offshore. I mean, it you know, if I'm correct, there is some, am I right, in Europe, but it is predominantly SA office in that 21%.
That's right, yeah. So South Africa makes up more than half of that. And then we do have some office space in Eastern Europe, Poland, as well as in Australia, and a little bit in the UK. But the majority is in South Africa.
Yeah, and I'd forgotten about that Australia component there. So we've got lots of office there. The question then is the vacancies, and the data you sent was, I mean, obviously vacancies, I mean, if we step back, the office sector was under some pressure, or certainly the property REIT space ahead of the pandemic. Vacancies during the pandemic obviously spiked. I mean, we saw that happening. But that trend, I mean, you've got some data even up to December, the trend still seems to be vacancies sort of increasing rather than starting to decline.
Sure. So that's the trend. I think for the next year to two, we'd like to see vacancies go up, probably sitting about 15% at the current level, according to estimates, and more likely to go to beyond 20%. That's likely to be driven by, as leases expire, you'll see corporates take less space. And then some of the smaller tenants will just say that, no, I don't need the space. And you can't keep forcing a smaller tenant to keep operating and just let them go as well. There's been some of those instances where the landlord and I have done that. But the challenge is the big space that comes up every year for renewal.
Yeah, and the trick with those big spaces, I mean, if you're a large corporate and you've got, I don't know, X thousand square meters, that renewal negotiation is you're probably going to want a lot more either flexibility or just out and out. You're going to say, actually, I want less space going forward. So it's those renewal processes and then not much new tenants, I imagine, coming in. Because as you say, I mean, people aren't back at the office yet.
Sure. So the other one is, well, in terms of the number that we don't have, is the amount of space that's available or being sublet. So it's in a big corporate sector, so much space and don't need it, but you don't have it in the official numbers. So that also adds pressure to the vacancies as well as the rentals. So you talk about flexibility. So we'd like to see more of that going forward, where it allows companies to contract maybe the size of the operations when they need to or expand when they need to, as opposed to being tied to long leases of 10 years with big space that you can't exit. Because right now, you're committed to the lease. It's a legal requirement that you have to keep paying that. Mm-hmm. But going forward, you will see less of that here.
And lease durations, you would use Growthpoint as an example. I mean, the durations are about 3.8 years, which certainly, you know, it gives the landlords some sort of wriggle room. It means some of those negotiations are happening today, but some of them are a couple of years away. Is that probably the standard in the industry where leases are the durations are currently sort of plus 3 years?
Yeah, I would say so in office market. You'll probably say between 2.5 years to 4 years, depending on the company.
Mm-hmm.
But as we look at the market, so the market is always forward-looking, so you don't wait for the year or the month the lease expires. You tend to look a year out, so the negotiations start earlier. Because
okay.
Companies have to make a decision. It takes a year so for you to actually manage your operations, move out, your tech and the IT costs as well. So you tend to look forward by more than a year. So probably in the next 2 years, watch out for most of the big expiries coming through.
And what we used to, I remember, I mean, there was a point a couple of years ago where the Sandton skyline was just cranes. There was just massive development happening. Are we still seeing that sort of level of development of new properties coming into the market, or is that perhaps slowed a bit?
Luckily, there's no new development coming up. It's quite tiny. Look at the overall amount of development coming up in South Africa. It's now less than 1% of total office space in South Africa. Where in the good times, that number is very high. Actually, it is about almost 7-8% of total space.
Wow.
So what you see now coming up is basically a building that we started before COVID-19.
Yeah.
Once you start building, you can't stop. So you have to finish the building as well. So there's not much coming up in terms of new supply, which is a positive.
Have you, I mean, the one of the questions is, and this is the hard one, I mean, the work from home trend. I mean, obviously,
yes.
Pandemic, we're working at home, we need to. As we start getting vaccinated, reports this morning of more vaccines arriving in the country. I mean, how, do we have any sort of sense of how it's going to shift? Of are the corporates saying, is everyone back? Is it going to be a blend? I mean, Google in their results comment that they saved over $1 billion with work from home. I mean, we're not going back to the 2019 levels, I imagine.
Yeah, unlikely. So the talks that we're picking up across most corporates, but including ours as well, is that people like to work from home or in the office, probably 2 to 3 days at home, 2 to 3 days in the office. That's number one. And then the setup will change. You don't have a permanent desk anymore. So it's going to be more, what they call it, quad desking.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're at home, somebody else is using your space. So which means corporates will require less space from a number of table or desks, rather. But then the challenge is actually how much space do you need for social distancing? So will you need extra space or not? But that will be counted by people being at home. So it depends. Flexible working and hot desking.
Yeah, and we certainly we've seen some of the REITs have actually been exiting office where they can, or repurposing office buildings into other bits. I mean, as an investor, and this is obviously you're head of the listed property at Stanlib. My sense is there's probably still some pain there. You say vacancies are going to continue rising. The market itself, I mean, the index had a really good April. Is our investors kind of looking through this and saying it's tough, but it's going to get tougher? But if we start looking out to say 2022 and the like, that there is some opportunity here, and that the sector, I mean, obviously it's going to survive, but it's got some investability.
Sure. Yeah, we believe that it has been priced in. At some point, the sector was trading about 55% below NAV in the middle of last year. It's come down, or it improved to about 25% below NAV. So you've seen some of the major write downs, as much as 15% in terms of direct property values. We expect that to continue, and the office market will suffer a bit more. So maybe still about 5-10% decline in values over the next year to two on an annual basis.
Mm-hmm.
So that's in the price. That's number one. And you're looking at some of the corporates also having properties up for sale in the office market. As a corporate has indicated, they want to exit the office market completely. It's a great point, really fine selling some of their properties as well. And also the fact that office market is over 20% big, but not as big compared to retail and industrial or other sectors.
Yeah, and that's an important distinction. I mean, office is one of them, and it's the one that's going to take the longer hit. But I mean, retail is there. Industrial, the logistics has been doing absolutely great guns. Killian Ngluvo, head listed property at Stanlib. Sir, appreciate your early morning time. The show is brought to you by Obvest's latest investment opportunity, Obvest Diversified Holdings number 4, that will invest you into a range of Obvest investments offering instant diversification. For more information, visit obvest.com. Obvest SA, authorized financial service provider, license number 50483.